a little boy, I had a Dr. Seuss book. I believe it was Dr. Seuss. It might have been someone else, but it was in that style. And it was called Are You My Mother? And it was a little bird that somehow hatched outside of the nest, or the mother was away or something. And through the whole book, he's going to different animals and different objects saying, Are you my mother? He walks up to some big elephant. And he says, Are you my mother? And the elephant says, No. He walks up to a big bobcat land excavation machine. He says, Are you my mother? You know, he gets no answer. He runs off. And throughout the whole book, he's searching for his mother. And then he comes across this little bird crying. And he says, Are you my mother? And she turns around. And she says, Yes. And she embraces him. Amen. And it's one of those things, childhood memories that you, it endears the fact that you have your mother. Some people, their mother passes away early in life, and it's never an easy thing, but surely that is a difficult thing to live with. In this passage, Matthew chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ asks the question, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And that's what I want to preach on this morning. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes, am I in the right place? Yes. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now, this is a remarkable passage in many aspects. It finds its companion in Mark chapter 3, verse 22 through 35, where the Lord Jesus says in verse 35, For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. We, of course, understand why Jesus Christ didn't say, Who is my father? He knew who his father was. But he said, Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Now, this is one of two recorded occasions where the Lord Jesus Christ was interrupted while teaching about devils with someone trying to put an emphasis on his mother. In Luke chapter 11, verse 14 through 28, he was casting out a devil and it was dumb, and it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake and the people wondered, but some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And so we see that there's a phenomenon attached to these passages, where the Lord Jesus Christ is giving light on the spiritual realm, and on both occasions someone interrupts him by trying to put an undue emphasis on his mother. And so as Christians, we ought to take heed to those things and observe them and see what truth we can get from them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, You and only You can do the work that needs to be done in our hearts this morning. No amount of study, no amount of eloquence or ability on anyone's part, or wisdom of men or understanding, can do the work. Without Thee, we can do nothing. We submit ourselves to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. And we ask, Lord, that You'd help us and give us food that's convenient for us. Lord, may we understand these things by Your Spirit. May we be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Challenge us this morning, Lord, to leave behind the things of children, to press on toward the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that You'd help us and bless us, and we give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, in reading these passages, this answers the frequent question as to who can claim motherhood of a child. Just giving birth to a child is not all that's considered in the title of motherhood. You know, someone could give birth, yes, that makes them biologically a mother. But there are many biological mothers who that's the only trait they have as far as motherhood is concerned. And there are many who are unable to give birth to children and yet are more of a mother to children than those biological mothers. The best situation is to have both, amen? Both a biological mother and a true mother who practices what motherhood entails. And yet, God shows you through these passages, even Christ says, Who is my mother? Now, He knew Mary, the Virgin Mary, was His mother. And we know that the Roman Catholic system has exalted many foolish and false traditions concerning Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, they call her the mother of God. They claim that she was immaculately conceived without sin, that she was a perpetual virgin through her lifetime and a co-mediatrix and co-redemptrix with Christ, and that she didn't die, that she ascended up into heaven. That's called the doctrine of the Assumption of Mary. And they come up with many things that are ridiculous. And that's one of the reasons why the Bible believers familiar with this truth, the Lord Jesus Christ never calls Mary His mother. He calls her woman. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ better than to think that He was being disrespectful to Mary, but that He was, by calling her woman, putting her in a proper place so that people wouldn't exalt her beyond what she was, a sinner saved by grace. But, you know, God makes claim to motherhood, and God is no female. You know, there are the Eastern religions that teach that God is both male and female, and there are some people who pervert Scripture and says, well, God created man in His image, and the image of God created He him male and female, so God must be part female. You know, the idea that the Holy Spirit perhaps is female, or all this ridiculous stuff. The Bible believer lets those things flow off of him like water off of a duck's back because he knows the truth. God is a masculine God, amen? He is the Father, not the Mother. It is the Son, not the Daughter. And the Holy Spirit is always referred to as a He, with few exceptions. And when there are those exceptions, He's referred to as an It. And those things are proper and true, but we know what the Scripture says. We don't have to reteach those things. We live in a very crooked, ignorant world and in an ignorant country and society where people believe what they see and hear on radio and television and on the internet, to where you can't rely on people just assuming that they know the truth. But I'm going to make that assumption this morning with you folks, my brothers and sisters in Christ in this church. I believe you know better, so I won't waste the time repaving ground that has been paved over and over again. Amen. But for the sake of the recording, I mentioned some of these things in passing. But Isaiah 49, verse 15, the Lord says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Well, you would think not, but we know that that happens. He goes on to say, "Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." And in that passage, the Lord is using that the example of a mother and saying, you know what, they might not be faithful always, but I'll be faithful. I'll be a mother to you. Psalm 27:10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Isaiah 66, verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Many times God takes the position or the title of a mother for himself, not in a confused feminine sort of a way, but in the idea of the aspects and qualities that you find in the ideal mother. God has those same qualities when it comes to caring for us and helping us and being concerned for us. Amen. Matthew 23, 37, the Lord Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem, and he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." He's using the example of a mother hen gathering her children under her wings, her chicks, you know. Does that mean that Jesus Christ is a rooster or a hen? No, he's using that as an example of the things in nature and the animal kingdom. Amen. You understand where we're going with this. In John chapter 2, Jesus says to Mary, when she says they have no wine, Jesus says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." In John 19, verse 26, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son." We also know from the Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ not only had Mary as his mother, but he had brothers and sisters in the flesh through Mary and Joseph. Mark 6, verse 3 says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters according to the flesh. He had a mother according to the flesh. When Jesus Christ asks, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Who is my sister, my brother?" He's talking about a spiritual relationship. That being said, when was the last time you gave any serious thought to what Jesus Christ said in this passage? Because he says, "Whosoever." And we like whosoever's. I like whosoever's, amen. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Thank God for the whosoever's. Someone wrote a hymn, said, "The whosoever meaneth me." Amen. Amen. John 4:14, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal, everlasting life." Thank God for the whosoever's of Scripture. Amen. John 11:26, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? We sure do. We sure do. Amen. We grab hold on those whosoever's and we cherish them and we claim them, amen, as our own. God didn't just love the world that he gave his only begotten Son of the world. He gave it for me because I'm the whosoever. Amen. Acts 10 verse 43 says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth on him in him shall receive the remission of sins." I'll take that one too. Amen. I put my name right there by whosoever. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 1 John 4:15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." When God says whosoever, he doesn't just mean a few select group of people. He means anybody, anywhere, anytime, whosoever. Revelation 20:15, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." A negative verse, but true nonetheless. And that's whosoever wasn't. Revelation 22:17, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Like I said, the hymn, "Whosoever will may come," is in our hymn book. Somebody wrote a hymn, it says, whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. I don't know the tune, but you can see they're emphasizing that thing. When they see whosoever, they're like, that's talking about me. Amen. Thank God. When the Scripture says whosoever in the New Testament, when Christ makes the statement whosoever, it's open to anybody in this room that's a believer. Amen? Sure. Amen. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said that, and He didn't just say it to the people that were in His time. He meant that for all time and all ages to the people today in this building, whosoever. It could be, and that means whosoever, according to this passage, could be a mother, a sister, or a brother to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've never heard this preached upon or this subject mentioned very much. And so, God help me, I want to bring a message on that this morning. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2 says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Now, he's probably not your dad, but you're supposed to treat him that way. Entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. And so we understand that relationship with each other. That's why we call each other brother and sister. We have that treatment of each other. It's not true physically, but it certainly is true spiritually. We understand the Lord Jesus Christ recognized who His true family was. And it wasn't those who were His family according to the flesh. It was those who were His family according to the Spirit. Many of us are closer with believers than we are our own flesh and blood. And rightly so. Yeah. Amen. Rightly so. I've got family members that are here locally. They don't even speak to me for whatever reason. There's no animosity there when we see each other at funerals or weddings. There's always a friendly discussion, but there's no fellowship there. There's no communion there. You know why? Because our true family's here. My true family is those that do the will of God. Amen. I'm not interested in furthering those fleshly ties any more than I have to. And I'm not against those folks. You understand that? We're not some sort of a cult that says, shun all of your family, have nothing to do with them. Unbelievers, don't, you know? No, 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 no. But we do understand that our relationship here as brothers and sisters is closer and deeper and truer than any flesh and blood relationship could ever be. Brother Luke got up yesterday at that memorial service and said things about that man who had passed away that his family couldn't say. Because Brother Luke communed with that man for years and years and years. There was a bond, a closeness there, like David and Absalom, that surpassed the love of women. A true, pure, righteous relationship. And that's the relationship we all desire. And that's the relationship the Lord Jesus Christ desires to have with us. When He says, whosoever will, He's talking about me. He's talking about you. So if a believer exhibits these qualities in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, they can enter into a special relationship with Him that the title of mother, brother, and sister would aptly describe. You know, in some people's minds, the idea that you could be a mother to Jesus Christ, whether you're a man or a woman, would be unthinkable. But we're not talking about fleshly, carnal things. We're talking about spiritual relationships. And in Christ, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free. So I have an opportunity to be a mother to Jesus Christ. It shouldn't sound strange to our ears, amen? We're the bride of Christ. Every man sitting in this building one day is going to be married to a man. But we understand that as a great spiritual truth, a spiritual relationship, and we look forward to it. The physical carnal relationship is merely a shadow, a very poor imitation of that which is to come. Amen? And so every one of us should desire to be a mother to Jesus Christ, to be a brother, to be a sister, no matter who we are, what sex we are, how old we are. As a believer, He said, whosoever does the will of my father, the same as my mother, my sister, my brother. And that's what I want you to think about this morning. It's a very simple message. Romans 16:13, Paul says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Now, I doubt very highly that Rufus was Paul's physical brother, according to the flesh. I believe he was a brother in Christ, and that his mother treated Paul like a mother. Maybe she was an elder woman. Like he said, you treat the elder women as mothers. And maybe when Paul came to town, this lady cooked and cleaned and helped and provided a place for Paul to stay and ministered to him like a mother would. And he looked upon that elder woman as a spiritual mother. You know, there are perversions of these things. The Roman Catholic Church have people call priests father against the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Apostle Paul talks to his son Timothy, his son in the faith. There is that relationship between believers that's scriptural, that's holy, but has been perverted. But that doesn't mean that the right shouldn't be done. Amen. To be a mother to Jesus Christ. Think about it. And don't use your carnal reasoning. It won't work. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. They won't work any other way. Even in this crazy mixed up world, they won't work. But they will work in truth and in righteousness. To be a mother to Jesus Christ. How can it be? In Judges 5, verse 28, it says, "The mother of Sisera looked out at the window and cried through the lattice, 'Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots?'" That's a mother for you. You know what she's waiting for? She's waiting for her son to return. As a believer, you know what you're supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be desiring Christ's return. You're supposed to be looking through that lattice work and saying, "Where's he at? Where's he at?" That's what a mother does when a son goes off to battle, when a son goes off to war, when he goes off to school. She's looking for the day when he returns, when he comes home. She's looking for a reunion. Will you be a mother to Christ in desiring his return? 2 Samuel 19, verse 10 says, "And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?" David's king. But the question is, why aren't you talking about bringing the king back? This rebellion with Absalom is past. Absalom's dead. We ought to be talking about the king, bringing the king back. Will you be a mother to Christ this morning and desiring his return? 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Get a crown for it. 1 Samuel 2, verse 19, speaking about Samuel's mother, Hannah. And you know the story, how she prayed and God answered her prayer and she gave him back to the Lord. And the Bible says that she brought him, once he was weaned, she brought him to Eli and left him at the tabernacle, and that's where Samuel lived for the rest of his life. And of course, God blessed her and her husband with many other children. But there was a special relationship that Hannah had with Samuel. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:19, "Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." She couldn't have her boy every day, every week, every month. It was every year. But she made sure every year she made a little coat for him. Let him know Mom still cares. Mom is still Mom. You know what that is? That's commitment. She could have spent all of her affection on those children that were there with her every day. And because he was out of sight and out of mind, forgot about him. But she did. She probably started working on the new coat the day she got home. And every day added to that thing, knowing she would see him next year. Pardon me. What am I saying? I'm saying that as a believer, you want to be a mother to Jesus Christ, you know what you're going to have to show? You're going to have to show commitment. You're going to have to show a commitment to Him, even though you can't see Him, feel Him, touch Him. Will you be a mother of Christ? Who is my mother? Is there a mother here today? They'll say, I'll be his mother. I'll take care of him. I'll make sure he's clothed. You know what Paul says? He says, my children in whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What's this business about a man travailing in birth? It doesn't make sense physically, but every Christian knows that's a spiritual relationship. And every Christian who is trying to win others to Christ or disciple other Christians knows exactly that feeling of a mother. It's, I'm a mother who's travailing until Christ be formed in you. Song of Solomon 3 verse 11 says, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. You know what that is? That's worship. That's what we do when we gather together. We worship the King. We place the crown upon his head. We crown him Lord of all. Amen. Lord of lords. Amen. King of kings. But also our Lord. Our Master. Our King. As a mother, she crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. That's what we want to do. We want to be a mother to him in that way. We want to place the crown on his head. You know, when Solomon sat on the throne, whenever Bathsheba, his mother, would come to visit him, he'd make sure somebody provided a chair for her to sit right at his right hand. And you know what he told her? He said, whatever you want, ask for it. I won't tell you no. Now, there was an exception where he had to tell her no, and he explained it for her because she asked in ignorance. But otherwise, he said, ask anything you want, Mom. That's a relationship. That's a spiritual relationship that you have. That sadly, many Christians, maybe Christians in this room, neglect to the point where the idea of being a mother to Christ is so foreign to you that you're still trying to process that. You won't process it. It's a matter of revelation and acceptance. Luke 2, verse 51. Jesus is 12 years old. You know the story. Mary finds him in the temple after searching for him everywhere else. Why wouldn't she look there first? That's where she last left him. Amen. Nevertheless, she finds him and he says some things that are incredible to her. And in Luke 2, verse 51, it says, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You would be a mother to Christ? Do you memorize Scripture? Do you meditate upon it? You can be a mother to Christ this morning by committing Scripture to memory and by reciting it to yourself and meditating upon it and thinking on these things. That's what Mary did. There's all kinds of ways that a believer can be a mother to Christ. Will you? Whosoever will. John 2, verse 5, at the marriage of Cana, a great commandment of Mary. There's a tract called Mary's Command for Catholics, and it uses this verse. You know what the verse says? John 2, verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. Great, great advice. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Is that what's coming out of your mouth? Are you obedient? In all things? Are you doing His will? Are you a mother? 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Genuine faith. Unfeigned faith. Many qualities of a mother should be exercised in the life of a believer. Point number two, to be a brother to Christ. Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I used to read that verse as a teenager when Seth and I had our conflicts, and I used to think a brother's born for adversity. In other words, he's the one that's caused the cause of all my hard times and grief. Amen. That's what I was about to say. That's exactly how he felt as well. Amen. It was a two-way street. But that's not what that verse is talking about. That verse is talking about when I'm in adversity, there's one guy I can count on to help me out. My brother. I almost had to call him this morning. When we left, the gas light was on. And I was like, Lord, we're late. I don't have time to stop for gas. Get us there. Get us there. And he got us here on fumes. But you know who I would have called if we would have run out of gas on the interstate? Not Brother Mike. I love Brother Mike, and I know Brother Mike would be willing to help. But I wouldn't call him. I'd call him. Because every time I've called him when I ran out of gas, he'd be there. He bought me a gas can to keep in my trunk. I do keep it in my trunk. It's empty. There have been times where I coasted into the gas station, ran out of gas, put the pedal to the metal as hard as I could, ran out of gas, and coasted from the interstate to the gas station. And as the last little bit of the roll was right there at the gas pump, and I was like, I don't have to call Seth. And I haven't done that just locally. I've run out of gas in Baton Rouge and called Seth. I've broken down on the road, on the side of the road, and called Seth. And he either comes or he sends Penny. They've never failed. You know, I imagine he gets tiring after a while. Very rarely does he ever, I don't think he's ever called me to help him out when he ran out of gas. I can maybe count on my hand the number of times he's called me for help at all. But I sure have called on him. And you know what I've found? I've found that a brother is born for adversity. He's a help. In this ministry, Seth and his family have been invaluable over the years. Invaluable help. An encouragement. You know what? That's what Christ wants from you. He wants a brother that he can depend upon. In hard times. He said, Christ isn't going through hard times. Oh, I beg to differ. The Bible says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in prison and you visited me. Sick and you ministered unto me. For as much as you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. There's all ample opportunity for us to be a brother to Christ and help him out. Ephesians 6:21, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. These verses where Paul describes brethren in Christ, he always gives them a title. He tells them, this guy's a brother and a faithful minister. In Philippians 2:25, he says, yet I supposed it necessary to send you to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your minister. I'm sorry, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Every one of those things can be said not only of Paul as a believer to believer, but also of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you. That makes you a yoke fellow. That makes you a fellow soldier. That makes you a fellow helper. That makes you a companion in labor. Are you a brother to Christ this morning? Colossians 4:7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Colossians 4:9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. You know what that? That was a brother who was in a local church. A beloved brother who is one of you. When I was young, maybe 5, 6 years old, my grandmother was watching me, and she said, how many brothers do you have? And I said, I have 5 brothers. And she said, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. And she said, well, name them. And I said, David, Sheldon, Scott, Sean, Stephen, Seth. No, 6 brothers. I've got 6 brothers. She said, no, you have 5 brothers. I said, no, I have 6. She said, name them again. I said, David, Sheldon, Scott, Sean, Stephen, and Seth. She said, Stephen's not your brother, Stephen Bertuzzi. He was at our house all the time. He would eat with us. He would play with us. He would sleep over. I thought he was my brother. My grandma was like, he's not your brother. I was like, yes, I insisted. Yes, he's one of us. No, he's not. He might as well have been, amen. I mean, I saw Pop get on to him like he got on to the rest of us. He was there all the time. He called them Mom and Pop. I didn't know his last name was Bertuzzi. I didn't know his real family lived down the street. I just saw him all the time. I figured he was a brother. That's what you ought to be. You ought to be a familiar person around these parts. So much so that people miss you when you're not here. I could preach on that a while, but I'll spare you. To be a brother to Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. Sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. You catch that? This guy's a brother, and he's a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. He's a witness. You want to be a brother to Christ? How many people are you witnessing to? How many people are you telling the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to? You can't claim to be his brother unless you enter into that relationship. Our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Philemon 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. A brother to Christ is somebody who ministers to the saints and refreshes their bowels. He's an example to the believer. 1 John 2:10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. How's your walk? Is it a testimony? Is it something that edifies other Christians, encourages other Christians, builds them up in the faith? Or does it tear them down, discourage them? Revelation 1:9, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Brother Thomas Castellaw and I were missionaries together in Germany working under my brother David, my older brother David. He was the pastor, and we were there helping him in the ministry. And many times where we had to do some very undesirable and hard work, and won't go into all that now, but that was one of the things that we claimed was this verse, that we were brothers and companions in tribulation. And there's a special bond and relationship that we have because we went through some hard times together as Christians serving God. You don't forget those things. You don't forget them quickly. You know what that is? That's somebody who's there through thick and thin. That's somebody who's outside the camp bearing his reproach. That's somebody that Christ can say, you're a brother, a real brother. And last of all, to be a sister to Christ. Now, men, don't tune me out. Just as you heard me when I said a mother to Christ, you also can be a sister to Christ, and you are spiritually because you're part of the bride, which is his sister, his spouse. And you know that bride has a very special relationship with Jesus Christ, absolutely unique in all of history. Song of Solomon 4, verse 9, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes and with one chain of thy neck. That's a relationship of love. You be a sister to Christ. Who is my sister? Song of Solomon 4:10, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Is the Lord able to enjoy your fellowship, your worship, your love? Song of Solomon 4:12, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. I've told you on many occasions, a garden is not a public park. It's a private, intimate setting. It's something personal. Has to do with your one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as his bride, as his sister. Song of Solomon 5:1, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunken my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Do you have those supplies at hand for Christ to enjoy? You know, he has desires. He has cravings, if you'll forgive the word. One day he's walking along, he sees a fig tree with leaves, and he's hungry. And he goes to it expecting to find fruit thereon, but he finds nothing but leaves, and he curses it, and it withers away. You know what Christ is looking for this morning? A mother, a brother, a sister. Maybe he found it in Mary on occasions. Maybe he found it in his brothers and sisters according to the flesh on occasion. I doubt it very much. Most of the record of Scriptures, Mary very little, but almost none of his brothers except after his resurrection, James his brother. But before that, the Bible says neither did his brethren believe on him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for a mother, a sister, or brother. Are you my mother? Are you my brother? Are you my sister? You can be any of those. You know why? Whosoever will. Whosoever will do the will of my Father is the same as my brother and sister and mother. Amen. Galatians 6:10 says that we're of the household of faith. Household. Ephesians 2:19 says that we're of the household of God. Ephesians 3 verse 14 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're one big happy family. A real family. A spiritual family. What's your relation to Christ this morning? Is it just believer? Is it just servant? Or are you a brother, a sister, a mother? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the passage of Scripture and the inspiration. I pray that you'd help us all to search our hearts by the flashlight of the Word, by the torch of Scripture. Uncover some things, Lord, that we've covered up, that we've hidden down deep. Expose those things to the light so that we might see a true reflection of where we are in our walk with Thee. Help us, O Lord, to, as the hymn says, yield not to temptation. Help us to take heed to the things that we've heard today. The cry goes out, whosoever will, and yet few there be that enter in, few there be that take it up. Lord, help us to be of that minority, to be willing to say, I'll be a mother, I'll be a brother, I'll be a sister. God, give me grace, I'll do those things where I can. I'll work on them. I'll work on them with a conscious effort to be the mother, the brother, the sister that Christ desires and deserves. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Well.